710 ESPN, Mason, Ireland, what is up? I cannot stand the whole conversation about Mason cursing people. There's no such thing as a curse. I did not curse the Lakers by picking them to win the series in five.
Did you? But no. Yesterday, you switched to a sweep. You started making whoosh sound effects like that. Claiming, and I think you didn't, you never took the Nuggets seriously. Do you take them seriously now after last night?
No, not at all. It was a good night. It was a good night for him. I mean, but, you know, did I take the Portland serious after they won one? No. Did I take Houston seriously after they won one? No. Why would I take Denver seriously?
They're better.
You think they're better?
They're better than Houston and Portland.
Yeah, they're good. They're very good. I love watching Jokic. He's one of the best passing big men I think I've ever seen. Jamal Murray hit those daggers late.
Here's a harder question. Would you be worried if they tie it tomorrow night 2-2? Would your level of concern go up?
Yeah, of course. Of course it goes up, right? 2-2, they're in the series. Right now I feel like they're not really in the series. They did win one last night. But I fully expect the Lakers to come out on fire tomorrow night. And, you know, they were sluggish early in that game, John. They were very sluggish. You saw it. Here is Frank Vogel talking about the need to be more aggressive.
Well, the activity, you know, I mean, that's what you...
Frank, along Bill's question, those five quarters, it feels like you guys have been a jump shooting team a lot in that stretch. Obviously, that's what Denver's trying to get you to do, but can you guys be more aggressive? And did you think that when things were going well, that it came off of attacking the rim?
There's no question. I agree with what you said. You know, when we settle too much, you know, we play into their hands. When we're attacking the paint, we're getting great looks every time we're touching the paint. So we definitely have to be more aggressive.
It looks like Denver took away the paint last night and did turn the Lakers into a jump shooting team.
Well, the Lakers still won the battle of points in the paint. That's a little misleading. But what keyed the Lakers' run and keyed their points in the paint was that insane comeback in the fourth quarter, which was my biggest takeaway from the game last night. They just absolutely... I mean, Mace, it was so fast. They went on a 19-2 run and went from 20 down to 3 down. And they just ran out of gas.
Yeah, they ran out of gas. They were 0-for-5 from 3 in the last 5 minutes, which killed them. And the Lakers just didn't shoot well from beyond the arc. They were less than 25%, 6-23.
Right. And the whole game, in my opinion, was, by the way, they had 64 points in the paint. That's a postseason high.
And yet no rebounds.
They get killed, 44-25. But the biggest stat, Mace, the biggest saucy stat from last night.
It's sassy, by the way, but go ahead.
They couldn't buy an open three-pointer. They've been really good at shooting threes in the postseason. They weren't good in the seeding games. But in the playoff games down there, they've been really good. They were 0-for-9 on threes when nobody was within 6 feet of them.
That's crazy.
0-for-3 in the final 5 minutes of the game. That was the game. Right
they were there. Basically saying, go ahead and shoot.
Yep.
Shoot. You're
but
cold.
But if they do that tomorrow, I think the Lakers, I think those averages will even out. They'll regress to the mean and they'll make some.
Here's LeBron James on what went wrong last night.
I think it was the same game too. Same thing that we was able to get by, you know, with the AD shot. Turn the ball over too much. And we put him to the free throw line. And, you know, I give credit where credit is due, though. Denver came in and played exceptionally well. They played better than us, more aggressive than us through three quarters, 36 minutes. But, you know, there's a penalty in the third quarter with like 9.5 minutes to go. And we had some turnovers that led to some easy buckets for them. We had 16 turnovers for 25 points, and we put them to the line 29 times. So, It's not going to be winning ingredients for us if we continue to do that. And we knew that even after game two, we talked about that, trying to assure that. So we got to be better in that game four.
Yeah, I think part of it was just they came out sluggish. I mean, that first half was very sluggish, and they were very, very loose with the ball. They had too many turnovers last night during that first half. And down the stretch, when they were in that final 5 minutes, they had multiple turnovers that were critical.
Well,
and Rondo,
just,
Rondo really wasn't very good for the first three quarters, but in the fourth quarter, he was fantastic.
And you just hit on it, on the main thing. You know, Mace, they were 35-0 this year whenever they shot 50% from the field. Last night, they shot 52% and lost. That's their first loss, so now they're 35-1. And the reason is, you just hit on it, rebounding and turnovers.
Yep.
And their turnovers, by the way, of the 16 teams that went to the bubble, the Lakers now, of the final four, have the highest turnover ratio left. Only the Thunder, who are no longer in it, the Thunder were averaging 17 turnovers per game. The Lakers are at 16.4. Now, some of those turnovers you'll live with, because that's the Lakers being aggressive and trying to take the ball to the rim and trying to fast break. And obviously the Lakers are still the favorites to win the title, so it's not killing them. But you'd love to see that number come down if you're Frank Vogel. If you could even get it down to like 12 or 13, that would be, you know, good. The other three conference finalists are at 14, all three of them. Lakers are at 16.4.
I just think they got to come out on fire, and I have no question that they will. I have no question that they will. We saw the greatness that they are capable of during that 19-2 run, climbing back into that game and within 3 points with 5 minutes left. That's a team that we got to see from the jump tomorrow night when they tip off at 6 o'clock down in Orlando.
All right, so let's get some phone calls in here. Here is Advon in Orange County. Hey, Advon, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How are you guys
what's
doing?
What's up, man?
We're good, Advon. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Well, I want to start off just by saying, hopefully, since this whole year has been kind of pretty much in the trash, that your guys' OC Week 2021 will be the best ever.
Oh, yeah. I hope we can do it.
Mason, you need to show up this time.
Wait a minute. I was there that time. Yeah, I went to everything.
No, Advon, what event did was he not at? That you went to?
You weren't at the bowling, because I was on the next lane right next to Trudeau and Mace.
That was the one night that I didn't go. I didn't do the bowling. I did the thing where you dress up as a knight. I did the movie premiere. I did golf. I did everything except the bowling.
Advon, we split those up. I did the bowling. I did the golf tournament. Mason did the
dress up like a knight.
Yeah, jousting thing and went to the movie. So we basically divide those up so we're not killing ourselves. But Advon, the screener has a note here that says, the Lakers ruined your anniversary dinner with your wife.
Yeah, so I'll premise this by, me and my wife are huge Lakers fans. We were at Kobe's retirement game against the Golden State Warriors, and they retired his jersey.
Yeah,
so I was there for Kobe's last game. I mean, we're diehard Lakers fans, right? So we go down to Dana Point. I have this real nice, set up at Luciano's. I definitely would suggest that down in Dana Point, put a plug out for them. And so we're sitting there. We're on an outside patio. Everything's nice. Ambiance is nice. Everything is good. It's like, hey, baby, why don't we turn on the Laker game? Like, all right, cool. So we pop it up. It was maybe mid-second quarter. And our food just got delivered. My wife said that everything was cool. She said everything was good until the food got delivered. But I tend to think that, you know, everything was good until we started eating. Looking at the Lakers game, they couldn't buy a bucket.
Hey, Advon, let me tell you something. No matter what, never break up with your wife. Any wife who would let you turn on the Laker game in the middle of an anniversary dinner is awesome. I tell this story all the time that Pete Carroll and the Seahawks tried to throw and Malcolm Butler intercepted it.
Yeah.
I was at a restaurant in New York City with Lisa in Robert De Niro's restaurant in Tribeca. And I said, the only way I'll go out during the Super Bowl, because it's the only time we can get a reservation, but you got to let me put the game on my phone. And so I watched it at that table. And so, Advon, hats off to your wife for letting you turn the game on.
But I'm not done, though. The night wasn't over yet.
Oh, it wasn't over. What happened next?
No, it wasn't over. So after that, we saw the score. I think we were down. I remember getting off the 5 freeway at Crown Valley Parkway as we're pulling off to go get some dessert at like an open, or kind of like one of those open areas where they have different shops and stuff, right? So we pull off, and Michael's saying, Lakers down by 20. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, my God, this is – I cannot believe this. So we pull up, get our dessert. We go outside at the Buffalo Wild Wings, and we have a big screen. We're watching the game. That's when we started to come back. And I'm like, oh, yes, we can finally finish this off. So we're sitting there eating it, and by the time we were done with our dessert, I happened to look up, and – it was over, we lost. And we're kind of, we both look at each other and we're like, well, happy anniversary, baby.
Happy anniversary, baby.
I admire the fact that you guys tried. Tried to will the Lakers back. But I think
and we wish you a happy anniversary. How many years have you been together?
13 years.
13
Good
years.
For
congratulations,
you,
man.
Congratulations. What's your wife's name?
Her name is Sarah.
Sarah. All right. Congratulations to you and Sarah. That's awesome.
I appreciate it. Look forward to hopefully seeing you guys next year. OC Week 2021.
OC Week 2021.
I hope so. That'd be awesome. I hope we get to do it. Here's Sonny in Inglewood. Hey, Sonny, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi. He's gone. All right, we'll do Daniel in Jacksonville. Daniel, you're in Jacksonville, Florida?
Yeah, I'm in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm in the Navy, so... Hey, it's kind of tough when I got to stay up till 11:30 midnight and the Lakers blow games like that. So I'm with Mason. Sweep them. Get them out of there.
Get them out of there.
Get them out. Hey, Mason, I love you, man. I love your takes and everything. But, you know, they're giving you too much credit to think that something you say dictates the way the universe goes. Now, there's no Mason curse.
I completely agree with you. Thank you very much. I do not have the juice to curse anything.
What you say, what you do, what you say during the day, the moves you make, doesn't dictate if the Lakers are going to win or lose. So you keep that positive attitude. My thing is, and I hope O'Shea isn't listening right now because it's going to tell
him. He is, by the way. I just got a text from him. He's listening.
O'Shea, I don't mean this, but I got to do it. I hate to compare anybody of the Lakers to the Clippers, but, you know, Charles Barkley the other night was talking about the others on the Lakers, and and they need to step up. And I feel like Dwight Howard's reminding me a lot of what Patrick Beverley was doing. He was leaving his assignments because it was more important for him to be just that pesky person up and down the court rather than just do what he needs to do. And he was getting into foul trouble. He was blowing it for his team. And I feel like Dwight Howard needs to not worry about being that pesky defender and just go back to doing what we brought him here to do. Play good defense, block shots, get rebounds, offensive defense, give us extra points, because all that pesky stuff running up and down the court, just trying to pretty much defend Jokic like he's a point guard. Like, you don't need to do that. Just we need our role players, our other guys, to do what they need to do and all that other stuff. Let LeBron and let AD worry about all that other stuff.
Well, you know, awesome, it's thanks for the phone call. It's interesting, Mace, that Daniel brings up Dwight Howard. I get a lot of messages from fans saying, why don't they play Dwight more? They got to put Dwight in the game more. Dwight, you know, isn't getting enough.
Can you believe that? We've reached a point where Dwight is people absolutely love after what happened a couple of years ago. He's just reemerged and reestablished himself.
Weird. But Dwight played 14 minutes last night. So everybody says, well, we need Dwight to play 24 minutes. Here's the problem. In 14 minutes, Dwight had 4 fouls. In the game the other night, he had 5 fouls. So he's playing so aggressively and using his fouls so much, Mace, that you really can't play him much more than you are, or else he's just going to foul out. So he either needs to tone it down, which it's a little risky telling him to do that because he's impacting the game, or if he doesn't tone it down, you can play him more minutes, but he's probably going to foul out. That's just the nature of the way he's
right,
playing.
Right, exactly. Didn't he have five fouls in game two? How many fouls did he have last night? He's
4 in 14 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a good thing. You go use your fouls, no question. You got
and
Jokic out there. Use your fouls.
And a technical. They called it on him.
All right, coming up next for you, Charles Barkley, very upset, John. Very upset.
About what?
I will tell you. Next, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland, what is up? Thank you very much for being out there. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. At 3:45, we've got Game of Games. At 3:30, believe it or not, we are going to get very centered and meditate. Deepak Chopra is here to help us learn how to deal with a Lakers loss like last night. So Deepak is coming up in 10 minutes. In the meantime, stupidity. So, John, I put out a poll. Do you believe in the Mason curse? Mm-hmm. How do you think that's going for me?
Well, I would say most people do believe in a curse because you've said on many occasions that you believe in the secret. You believe in what you put out in the universe. You can will it into existence.
I can secret something, yes.
Right, and it never works. So,
no, it does.
No, but every time you do it in sports, it doesn't work. So I think people are convinced that there is a curse, and I would say 58% of the people say there's a Mason curse.
Screw people. It's 75%. And first of all, thank you. I appreciate that. That means that actually Steve Mason has got the ability to change the outcome of games.
Well, that's what you think. That's what
I
you
must
think
be all powerful.
But that's what you think the secret is. You've said many times you believe you have that ability.
I do. And by the way, I've gotten us to two World Series. I've gotten us to a Super Bowl. I've gotten us to an NBA championship.
Why don't you ever win those?
I'm winning this year, man. Straight to the title. There we go. Straight to the title. All right, the other poll that I put up yesterday, which has it has been unbelievably active, and it has turned into an open street fight, a Twitter fight. So fill in the blank. When it comes to the NFL, L.A. is a blank town. Yesterday, the Rams were winning. Today, the Raiders are up 50-43 with the Chargers at 7%. John, they're in Nevada. They're not a Los Angeles team. This is a Rams town.
It's a Raider town. It always has been a Raider town. And when the Rams left, the Raiders really took over. And the funny thing was, when the Rams left Mason, went to St. Louis, we got, for 20 years, we got the Raider games on TV. L.A. was like a Raider market. And so a whole generation of people grew up with the Raiders. Now, I will say this.
Hey, what's up, Holmes?
I will say this. Hey, what's up, Holmes? Nice.
If the Rams win the Super Bowl, they can flip it.
Here's the thing that people aren't understanding. So, first of all, the LA Times ran a citywide poll, right? We remember this poll. Most important sports in Los Angeles, most important sports teams.
Lakers, Dodgers.
Yeah. Number one, Lakers. Number two, Dodgers. Number three, Rams. Period. I mean, it was an open and honest poll. Now, my Twitter poll, obviously, is not binding. It's not scientific. I don't have a reasonable sample size. People aren't represented. But the LA Times did that, and the Rams were third. Therefore, it is a Rams town. Now, I know there are Raider fans here, and good for you guys. I hope you enjoy the Nevada Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders, and you get to go over and see a game in the Roomba. Which is I stole
you
from George, which
you
is fantastic.
Wish you had the Roomba.
Hey, we've got a $6 billion stadium waiting for us.
The problem you have, Mace, is that, and they're on their way again this year, the Raiders go 16-0 every year.
Yeah, sure they do.
And so if you can live up to that standard, then you can own the town. But until you do, it's a Raider town.
Okay, 7th annual survey by the LA Times conducted in January and February asked 1,000 LA residents to pick their favorite team from the 10 major pro teams with Los Angeles in their name. The Lakers, 35%. The Dodgers, 31%. The Rams, 8%. The Clippers,
6%. Wow, look at that drop off.
The Galaxy, 6%, and the Angels, 5%.
Well, the Raiders can't be in that because they don't have Los Angeles in their name.
True, they cannot be in there. True.
So if the Raiders were in that poll, they would have finished third.
Totally disagree.
You can disagree.
I think everybody
on
your
own poll is telling you that.
Yeah, I mean, this is not a scientific poll. Here.
You're disregarding your own poll?
Correct. They're not scientific, John.
Why
These
did
are just
you
people
put it
that
up?
Follow me.
Right. Those are your
it's
people.
Fun. It's
no,
fun.
But they know you're a Ram fan. Why wouldn't the Rams win your own poll?
Because people like to jerk me around.
That's
Every
true.
Time I put up a poll, people are jerking me around. Now, I think what I'm tired of is this idea that somehow the Rams don't have a fan base. That is absolutely wrong. That the Rams, for example, didn't sell out their personal seat licenses and their season tickets. No, they did. They did. That stadium is going to be absolutely full to the rafters when they absolutely play a game. And I think that that stadium kind of seals the deal. It is going to be a focal point of the city. That's okay. Where the Olympics will have their opening and closing ceremonies. That's where the World Cup will happen. I mean, that is zero in on that. That's like the heart now, the heartbeat of Los Angeles in terms of sports.
Okay, so this will be interesting. I just had a friend of mine send me the ratings from Sunday.
Well, okay. But the Raiders were on Monday night.
Right, but I'm just saying this will give you a good indication of who people care the most about. So the Rams played at 10, the Chargers played at 1,
right.
The Lakers played at 4:30, and The Patriots and Seahawks played in a big national game between two great teams at 5:30.
Okay.
Who do you think had the highest rating of those four? Rams, Eagles, Chiefs, Chargers, Lakers, Nuggets, Patriots, Seahawks.
Patriots, Seahawks.
Incorrect. It was Chiefs, Chargers.
Oh, really?
Which is interesting.
Well, Patrick Mahomes.
All right. Patriots, Seahawks were second. Lakers, Nuggets, even though it was on cable, not broadcast, was third. And the Rams were fourth. But here's what's encouraging if you're a Rams fan. It was close. The Rams, there once was a day where this would not be close. 11.7 for Chiefs, Chargers. 9.4 for Patriots, Seahawks. 7.9 for Lakers, Nuggets. 7.3 for Rams, Eagles. So that's a pretty good number for all four of those teams.
Yeah, they all did well. And the Chargers carry the day because they were in a game with Patrick Mahomes, who's
right.
probably the biggest draw in the league.
Yeah,
at this point. And
the second game played at SoFi.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, I never did get to the Charles Barkley story. I will get to that coming up for you. But coming up next for you, we will be joined by a man who will center us. A man who will allow us to feel, will cope with last night's Lakers loss. It is the great, first time ever on the show, Deepak Chopra. His brand new book is called Total Meditation, and it is out now. We'll get him in here next. Mesa and Ireland, 710 ESPN. 710 ESPN, Mesa and Ireland, what is going on? It is sometimes challenging emotionally to be a sports fan, John. I live and
especially
die with my teams.
Last night.
When they lose, like last night, it hurts me. And so one way to deal with this, and every morning I listen to a meditation that's done by Deepak Chopra. He's got a brand new app out, the Chopra Meditation app, with a free 7-day meditation being offered to celebrate the launch of the app. And he's got a brand new book out called Total Meditation. The great Deepak Chopra is with us. Deepak, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you. It's always fun to be with you.
Deepak, let me start with this. We have your son Gotham on a lot, and he's done a lot of sports-related documentaries. He's worked with Tom Brady. He's worked with Kobe Bryant. Are you a sports fan? Did he kind of develop that on his own, or did he get that from you?
No, I used to be a sports fan, but I immigrated to this country, so I was big into soccer and cricket. And so when he was young in Boston, I took him to a few games. With the Boston Red Sox, and after that, he became an addict.
So you have written now 91 books. Your brand new book is called Total Meditation. 91 books is an incredible number. I meditate every day. John, you do a pretty good job of meditating every day, right?
I could be better, Deepak. I probably get to it once a week.
So what's your book and what's meditation all about?
Well, the new book is called Total Meditation, and it is how to slip into meditation mode no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, instantly into what people call peak experiences. And, of course, athletes are very familiar with peak experience. They feel a sense of timelessness. Everything goes into slow motion. There's no resistance, no anticipation, no regret. They're just in the flow. They call it being in the zone. So total meditation is how can you stay in the zone all the time? You know, I was thinking of Gotham when I wrote this book to tell you this book because he understands what the zone is from a sports point of view. And athletes do too. How can you stay in that frame of mind instantly whenever you want to, through anchor, through little suggestion, through what is called neurobiological fine-tuning, neuro-associated conditioning. You know, just like you can train any animal to respond to a bell and give them something to eat, And every time you get behind with something great, you bring the bell. After a while, it's telling it's just listening to the sound. You can do that. You can use anchors like that to get peak experiences. Whether there's a breathing technique or a body movement, anything, or deep mantra technique that takes you into mindful awareness, you can use these. And what I do with sports figures frequently, I have them look at their best performances, make a video, and then meditate at the same time. And then they go on to play. All they have to do is use the mantra that is associated with their best performances that they've already seen on their video. So it's a very good way to improve peak performance as well.
Well, it sounds great. I mean, I read your last book, MetaHuman. I will absolutely read this one. It's called Total Meditation. Also, the app, the Chopra Meditation app, free 7-day meditation being offered to celebrate the launch of the book right now. We got a little rough connection, Deepak, so we're gonna cut it short. But we really appreciate you coming on. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Deepak. Mace, you really meditate every day?
I do every day. There's
how long?
About 20 minutes. So I use a meditation that's done by Oprah Winfrey with Deepak Chopra. I think it's available online. And there's a talk beforehand, like a little 5-minute talk, and then 20 minutes of meditation. And afterwards, I'm able to do brilliant radio like this.
So you do it at the same time every day?
No, yeah, I do it at the same time every day, about 9 o'clock every morning.
All right, do you, if you miss it, like if whatever happens, like we're doing a... we're going to tour SoFi next week.
Yeah.
And tell everybody about it. So you can't do it at 9 o'clock that day. If you miss it, do you know it? Do you know that you feel differently the rest of the day?
Yeah, I'm rattled and scattered on days I don't meditate. I just, my thoughts just all work in sync when I meditate. And I feel more calm, more steady, and more ready to do brilliant radio like this.
Okay, speaking of that, get to the Barkley thing because we have Game of Games coming up next.
Okay, so Charles Barkley, you know, we've heard about the bubble. Everybody's talking about the bubble, the one in Orlando. Apparently, Barkley feels like he's in a bubble in Atlanta. Do you have this, Jorge?
Been hell. I've been stuck in this Atlanta bubble for like 2 months now. And my life sucks right now. I'll be so glad when these next 2 weeks are over. It's just been awful.
He's stuck in the Atlanta bubble. Apparently, they're keeping Ernie and Kenny and Shaq and Barkley in a bubble so that they're healthy to do inside the NBA.
They get paid a lot of money. This is a true test of that, you know, to do it. You know, I was up, and this is nothing against any of the other pre- or post-game shows that are out there, NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball.
Yep.
But that is, you talk about a class by itself.
Yeah, that's a state-of-the-art pregame, postgame show right there. State-of-the-art.
What makes it is the people.
Yep.
And how you never know what they're going to say.
Yes, between everybody Shaq
else,
and Barkley.
Everybody else has to kind of stay in the fairway. Those guys don't care. There is no fairway. They'll just say whatever pops into their head.
Yeah, and Barkley, like me, often guarantees things.
The guarantee.
Has
not been good to Charles. And, you know, he guaranteed a sweep. You fell for it, too.
He guaranteed a sweep on this series?
He broke out a broom.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, it's fine.
Of course, he guaranteed a sweep of Portland over the Lakers after Portland won game one.
Yeah, give me. I'm sticking with Lakers in five, regardless of what Charles says.
I hope you're right. I pick Lakers in six, but I don't want to go through that. I don't want to go through that drama. I don't need that stress in my life. I hope it's Lakers in five.
Lakers in five will be easy and comfortable, and we will all be happy and waiting for Boston and Miami to try to finish it. That series, I think, is potentially going seven. Score right now in Game of Games: Ireland 6, Lindsay 2, Jorge 3, Michael Thompson 2, me 2. So Ireland has got a commanding lead for the month of September, which is quickly coming to an end. I don't think I can get into it anymore, but I intend to win some games. Today's Lindsay's game, right, Lindsay?
That's right.
Thank you very much. That's right.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Game of games. Ireland has won six times in September. Jorge,
yeah.
A nice debut with three wins. Lindsay with two, me with two, Michael Thompson with two, and today it is Lindsay's game. Often an adventure when Lindsay does a game. Lindsay, what is it?
Wait, why is it normally so adventurous? I don't.
Because
get
we just never know what you're going to throw at us. It's always a surprise.
Well, today we've got a game of fast food trivia.
All right.
You know how much you guys love fast food. I try to pick something that we don't normally do a lot of trivia about on the show. So hopefully you guys like this one. Simple okay. trivia. I will give you guys multiple choice. And I think I've got like nine questions here. We'll do like the best of seven.
Okay.
And then I've got a tiebreaker if we need it. Sound good?
Yeah.
Yep, sound good.
Yeah.
All right, first question here. Which fast food restaurant is credited with introducing the modern-day drive-through window? Is it McDonald's, Wendy's, Sonic, or Rally's? Mace, you can go first.
I am going to say McDonald's.
Okay, and John?
What was the middle one?
McDonald's, Wendy's, Sonic, or Rally's?
I'll go Rally's.
And Jorge.
Yep, Checkers, Rally, same thing.
None of you guys are right there. The answer is actually Wendy's.
Wendy's.
They introduced it at the grand opening of their second store in 1970. So 0-0-0 here on the board.
We're off to a great start.
Great start, as always, with my games. Number two, which of the following fast food restaurants was founded first? Was it Burger King, In-N-Out, Whataburger, or McDonald's? John, I'll start with you.
Okay, McDonald's, Burger King, In-N-Out, and what was the fourth one?
Burger King, In-N-Out, Whataburger, or McDonald's?
Give me McDonald's.
All right, and Jorge.
I'm going to go Whataburger, since I live in Texas.
All right,
and
Mace.
I am going to go McDonald's.
All right, and all of you guys are wrong again.
Wow!
For two. The answer is In-N-Out.
Wow,
founded in 1948 in Baldwin Park, California. Number three. Man, good thing I got extra questions.
Yeah.
What did McDonald's restaurants first introduce in 1968? Was it the Egg McMuffin, the Big Mac, the Happy Meal, or Ronald McDonald? Let's see who goes first here. Jorge, you're first.
Can you tell me the options again?
Egg McMuffin, uh-huh. Big Mac, Happy Meal, or Ronald McDonald?
Big Mac.
Mason says Happy Meal.
Okay, and John?
I'm with George. Big Mac.
Big Mac is correct, so you guys both have a point. Big Mac, right. 1973. Or no, never mind. Anyway, number four here. What was the first? I gave like little facts at the end, but I think we don't have time for that.
No, let's not do little facts at the end. Say one more time.
Wichita, Kansas. The first Pizza Hut. Where was it built? Wichita, Kansas, Albany, New York, Grand Prairie, Texas, or San Francisco, California? John, you're first.
I'll say Kansas.
Okay, and Jorge.
Yeah, I was going to say Kansas too.
Mason?
I'm going to say Albany, New York.
Well, Mace, you are wrong. You should have gone with the other two because they both have 2 points now. It was Wichita, Kansas.
Wichita, Kansas.
All right. Next question. What fast food restaurant was literally founded in a broom closet? Was it Dairy Queen, Subway, Papa John's, or Taco Bell? Let's see. Jorge.
Dairy
Queen. All right.
Ireland.
Papa John's.
And I'm Subway.
Nice. Ireland is right. It's Papa John's.
Papa John's takes the lead. 3-2 Ireland. Me with nothing.
All right.
God, this is a stupid game because I'm not winning.
Of course. Which was the first fast food restaurant in China? Was it Pizza Hut, McDonald's, Panda Express, or KFC?
They're going to put a Panda Express in China. I'm going to go McDonald's.
Okay. Jorge?
KFC.
Next. John?
George is right. It's KFC.
All right. That's correct. So, John, you've got 4 points. Jorge's got 3, and Mason's got none, right?
Okay, yeah, none. How many are left?
I think that's it, right?
Yeah, that's
we'll do this. We could do this last one and see if Jorge can tie it up. Otherwise, John wins.
Oh, no, let's call it a win for John.
I think we should.
Okay.
Let's call it a win for John.
Let's just hear it, though. Let's just hear it.
Yeah, go ahead
and
do it.
Okay, where's the busiest McDonald's in the world? Tokyo, New York City, Dubai, or Munich?
The busiest.
I'll say Dubai. They love their burgers there.
I'll say Tokyo.
What were the other ones besides Dubai and Tokyo?
New York City and Munich.
Let's go Munich.
Munich is correct, so John, you would have won anyway.
You would have won anyway. God, Ireland, you know your fast food.
Another win for Ireland. He knows his fast food trivia.
You know what's weird? Every time, and I'm not a fast food eater, right? But I've decided, normally I allow myself a cheat meal because I'm at 205, John. Technically 2049. So I'm getting towards 200. I've been cutting weight. I got up to 217. Now I'm at 2049. But every time I see a fast food commercial, I'm like, damn, that looks good. Damn. Those Carl's Jr.'s ads, they sucker me in. So do the Wendy's ads. So I decided this weekend the cheat meal is going to be fast food, straight up McDonald's. Straight up McDonald's. I want some fast food.
Is that your favorite fast food?
My favorite fast food is – my favorite burger is a Big Mac. I mean, if I'm going fast food, I love a good Big Mac. And I'll probably eat 2 of them this weekend.
I love Carl's Jr. Their Beyond Burger is the best.
All right. Coming up next for you, George and LZ are going to do a show leading up to Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals with Miami leading the series 2-1.
And George – And I have breaking baseball news, too. Big news.
Big news.
Yeah.
All right. All that is coming up next with some crosstalk. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Feeling good. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. What is going on? LZ is joining us now. George in just moments.
No, I'm here.
Oh, he is here. Hey, George, right. How are you?
Hey, what's up?
So amazingly, people listen to the show so close, right? So closely.
Mm-hmm.
So I mentioned going to McDonald's this weekend.
Okay.
And somebody said, I told the story once, that when I lived in New York and I was doing radio there, every Friday after the show, I would do a total crash and burn. I'd stone out and I'd eat a bag of McDonald's. So this was the actual order. 2 Big Macs, 10-piece chicken McNuggets, a lot of hot mustard sauce, 2 large fries, a caramel sundae, and a hot apple pie to dip into the caramel sundae. That was the big Friday meal. How's it sound?
I love it. How old were you back then?
35.
Oh, yeah, 35. You crushed that, dude.
Crushed that, man. I could put it in McDonald's.
Now, at this stage of our lives, that would not be ideal. But back then, yeah, you crushed that all
day. I'm cutting weight right now, George. I'm cutting weight. I've gone from two. I started the pandemic at 195.
Right.
I got up to 217.
Right.
Now I'm at 2049.
Look at that. Look at you working your way back.
Mace, what is the number you need to hit before Bergman hits his number?
Oh, yeah.
200 on the dot.
And what is Bergman at?
We don't know. Bergman is on radio silent.
Bergman has to go to 190.
Okay.
Because both Mason and Bergman, it was basically a race to see who could lose 15 pounds the fastest.
Gotcha.
And so Mason needs to get to
I'm going
to
win this sucker.
And if Bergman loses it, I bet a lot of mythical money on Bergman because I figured there's no way he would lose this bet to Mason, who eats donuts every night. And so hopefully your producer, guys, takes this with some seriousness. He claimed that there was no chance he would lose, but I haven't heard an update from him recently.
Okay, I see the breaking baseball news, John. Why don't you? Okay,
I haven't broken 200 yet, by the way, just so you know.
Okay, where are you?
201.
And no.
And Greg, what do you need to get? What do you need to get to?
Well, you keep saying 190, but I was at 220, and now I'm down to 200. I've lost 20 pounds.
Yeah, right, but what was the bet? 90. What was the bet?
19 pounds. Well, you guys made the bet without me and put me at 190.
Yeah, that's the bet.
Because at the time, Greg,
I told you that's the bet.
I think at the time you were at 203.
203, 204.
And Mason, you said, and so it was who could lose 13 pounds the fastest. So.
And I was at 213. And so we were racing to get to, I was racing to get to 200. You were racing to get to 190.
I'm just not getting that
Bergman,
far.
Bergman, you're getting boat raced, and I knew I never should have bet on you. I can't believe I did. All right, so here's the baseball news. Mike Clevinger, who the Padres traded for at the start of the season, it's being reported by Kevin Acey, who covers the Padres for the San Diego Union-Tribune, that Clevinger is going to be out for the postseason. He has an injury, and they've lost him. That makes the Padres, Mace, who are supposedly, if we play it all out, the likely Dodgers opponent in the second round.
Oh, no. Like, if they both win, they will play each other.
Right. So that makes them much, much less dangerous without Clevinger.
Yeah, Clevinger, I think, was going to come down as their ace, to be honest with you. He, since coming over from Cleveland, he has been very, very good. Now, I guess their ace is probably Chris Paddock or Lynette Dinelson-Lamette. I always screw that guy's name
up. Yeah, Paddock is probably the guy.
Paddock's probably the guy.
What happened to him? Did he see the Chargers doctor before the game or something?
Wow, how about that story?
Oh, good Lord.
That's rough, man. Well, that is rough.
Too soon.
Way too soon.
Greg, I want you to capture that joke and play it next week when it's probably more time.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a bad break for the Padres, obviously, but so what?
What do you mean, so what? What do you mean, so what? It's a bad break for him, and we're going to play him.
It's a so what to me, because you know how many injuries we've had to deal with? We had Seager gone for an entire year. We had to figure it out. Like, I just don't have any sympathy just because you had a streak of bad luck with an injury.
No, it's, you know, you hate to see somebody get hurt, but this is actually really, really good for us as Dodger fans. They've lost the guy that's potentially their ace.
Well, and guys, this is a classic don't put the cart before the horse thing. If the Dodgers draw the Reds in the three-game series and Trevor Bauer comes out and you know, throws a two-hitter in game one, all of a sudden the Dodgers may not even get there. So was it last year, Mace, that the Dodgers lost to the Nationals in the first round?
Yeah, Nationals first round. Clayton Kershaw gave up the two home runs back-to-back.
It wasn't just Clayton's fault.
Anthony Rendon and Juan Soto.
Yeah,
He should have never been in the game. They should have brought in Kolarik to face Soto. Yeah. By the way, these moments get crystallized in my head, and I just can't get out of them. Like, I was sitting right there when Kershaw gave up those two home runs. I was devastated. Fans, the way that place felt at that moment, it was just awful.
Mace, and I was there, too.
Were you?
I was there, too. My neck was still cranked from the first home run when I heard the second one.
Yeah. It's so, and apparently, and we didn't even see because we were at the game, the close-ups on Kershaw in the dugout afterwards where he was just devastated. Yeah. We didn't even see any of that. But it took the wind right out of that place. Game five, I thought we had that thing done, and it's not only Kershaw's fault, but he did give up those two home runs.
He did, and ruined, you know, what should have been a great postseason narrative for Walker Buehler, who threw a gem through seven innings.
What is it about you running over Keyshawn's jersey?
I didn't run over Keyshawn's jersey.
Kershaw's jersey. Wait a minute. Yeah, you ran over Kershaw's jersey.
It wasn't just me.
Wait a minute. Who else did it?
A whole bunch of fans did it.
Yeah, but why did you partake in it?
Because I was mad, okay? I was angry.
But here you're saying it wasn't all Kershaw's fault, yet you threw Kershaw literally under tires.
Because no one else's jersey would fit underneath it. I had a many. I only had space for one jersey. If I had two, I would have had a muffler problem.
Kershaw, if they, you know, it'll all will be forgotten if he wins a title. He just has to win a title. All right, so let me ask you guys about the Laker game last night. George, you first. Big picture, as in who's going to win the series. Was last night's loss something or nothing?
And those are my only two options?
Well, yeah. Well, you can still pick the Lakers to win the series, but
yeah, no. I if those are my only two options, it's nothing because I think the Lakers are still going to win the series. I just think that what it's shown is that Game One, eventually, you saw all the stuff that Denver went through take a toll on them, right? Whereas in Games Two and Three, you saw a team that. Is going to put up a fight, right? Like, they're never really going to go away. you have to squash them, and you don't squash them by being out-rebounded by 20 points or by 20 rebounds.
Yeah, I thought they'd just come out of the box really sluggish. The defense not there in the first half. It is amazing that they came from all the way back and pulled it within three with 5 minutes left, but they really did a good job of turning the Lakers into a jump-shooting team, which they are not. They had too many settled threes in that game. And by the way, they were wide-open settled threes.
Yeah, 0-for-9 on open threes, LZ. 0-for-9 on wide-open. Nobody within six feet of them.
Yeah, yeah, that's the worst. That's the worst output of the year for them.
I literally just got the phone with Rondo like within an hour, and we talked about last night, and he said something to me that gave me peace, which was, it wasn't meant to be. And he said, when you consider the type of shots that Denver was hitting, contested shots, long distance threes that they were knocking down. And all of the shots the Lakers missed, wide open shots that rimmed out and in and out. He just said that, he chalked it up to the basketball gods, didn't want it to happen. And, it wasn't anything for them to be overly stressed about. He also told me that, a couple of seasons ago, while he was watching Cleveland play in the finals, he said that if him and LeBron ever teamed up together, there was no way that a team would beat them four times in the postseason. And so far, so good. Rondo seemed to be completely at peace with it. Obviously, he's not thrilled with the loss, but he's not distraught by the loss either. So he's not upset, then I'm not upset.
What do you guys think about tonight? George, who wins Celtics Heat Game 4?
I think Miami wins Game 4. I think there's been a lot of talk about, Gordon Hayward and 4 days off. You forget that you have the coach on the other side who is the better coach and who might be the best coach at making game-to-game adjustments that we have in the sport at the moment. And he benched his best player in Jimmy Butler, and he's had to stew and sit on that for the last 4 days. I expect Miami to play a lot better. They got out they allowed 60 points in the paint. That is very unlike them in the last game. So I see them winning a very close game today.
And I got the Celtics. I've always had the Celtics. I think Miami is the better coached team, but I just think that the Celtics are the more talented team. And in a series with a good coach, typically talent wins out. And I think that while Jimmy Butler might be the biggest dog on the floor for either team, I think in terms of raw offensive talent, Jason Tatum is just better.
Well,
and I think eventually that's going to come to pass.
Let me address your Jason Tatum point. Michael Thompson and I were talking the other night, and Michael says the list of people that he would trade Jason Tatum for one-for-one right now. In other words, so think about the next 5 to 7 years. But the list of people he would trade him one-for-one for only has three people on it. Kawhi, Luka, and AD. That's how highly he thinks of Tatum. Is he overrating Tatum?
I don't know if I would be that stingy with the one-for-one trade, but I will say this. I've been saying he has a lot of Kobe in him for a long time now. We all know that he, spent the summers training with Kobe. But when I look at his footwork from his rookie year on, when I look at the way that his jump shot has developed, when I look at the way that his step back three has developed, this guy has an incredible ceiling. And he's never been afraid from his rookie year on. Never been afraid. You don't have to worry about him rising to the occasion. Doesn't mean he's always going to make the smart play because he's still young. But it's a lot easier to tell a dog to calm down than to tell a puppy to get woke.
Right.
And he's a dog, man. He really is.
George, the hard one to leave off that list is, of course, Giannis. But Michael felt like Tatum's potential is higher.
It is. It is.
Oh, I don't think so. I think Giannis' ceiling is still way higher than Jason Tatum. He just needs an actual coach and a staff that can get the best out of him still, which I still think, you know, we forget Giannis didn't play AAU like Jason Tatum and all these guys. Giannis's game is not anywhere near as refined as it can be still. There's still a lot of growth there.
You're listening to KSPN Los Angeles. I mean, I think Luka is in that conversation in a real way. I mean, I think Luka might be the guy.
Luka can't guard this phone I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, but that develops over time too.
No, well,
he could He could be a. To Elzy's point, though,
that's an effort thing.
It's an effort thing.
I think he could also. I think Luka, with experience, will be a more savvy defender, right? Like he'll play the angles better and things like that. But I think that there's so much on him right now from an offensive standpoint that you have to just kind of, you know, just go with that. He is unbelievable. Like he is a top five player this year, right? Like I don't think that like I would have put him on my top five MVP ballot this year.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that. He's definitely is an offensive juggernaut. I just feel that he gives away so much on the other end that it's hard for me to properly value whether or not you can make a champion of him right now. I need to see more of an effort defensively to really warrant that. And Jason Tatum, whether it's Brad Stevens or he came in this way, he's not opposed to playing defense either. He'll guard LeBron. He'll guard the best offensive player too and not have to be cajoled to doing so. So I just like the fact that, to me, the mentality first is right for Tatum, and he's got the skill set. As far as Giannis, I'm going to need you not to be self-checked from 17 before I start putting you in that category.
What do you mean?
Can't shoot a 15-foot jumper is what he said.
Consistently, yeah.
You're listening to KSPN Los Angeles. Hey, I wanted to throw this in. The Dodgers officially, now Dave Roberts, is not a surprise, has set the starter number one and starter number two, games one and two in the wild card series. It will be obviously Clayton Kershaw, and Walker Buehler will be back from that blister issue. He has not thrown a lot this year. He's got a 3.86 ERA, .01 whip, 36 strikeouts, 7 starts this year, only 7 starts, but he will be the game 2 starter in the wild card round. And I've said this, and see if you guys agree with it. If the Dodgers can get through the 3 rounds, the 3 game series, the wild card series, I think they win the World Series. It's that 3 game series that scares me the most.
Yeah, of course it would scare you the most. A short series, I mean, good Lord. I mean, how many short series have you seen go the wrong way? We just talked about it a few seconds ago, right?
Yeah,
a few minutes ago about the National Series being a short series and it not working itself out. So, yeah, I think a three-game series is terrifying because all you got to get is one hot pitcher in game one, and all of a sudden the pressure is tremendous at that
point.
Did
you see they're going to let fans go to the – well, at least they're –
the bubble?
They're going to try – to allow fans to go to the championship series, the NLCS, and the World Series down in Arlington. And I, for one, am willing to go. I would like to go. LZ, would you go? You're a Dodger fan. Would you go?
I really need to see what the
setup is.
What it all is. You know, it's like Notre Dame had to cancel practice and postpone a game. I mean, I'm all for being, you know, brave and all for, you know, pushing through, but I'm also all for being smart, listening to the science.
Yeah.
So I need to see what all that looks like first before I make that decision.
George, what about you?
No, I'm not going.
Your jam anyway, right?
No, it is. I would totally go. It's just not, in a normal situation, I would totally consider
it.
But I think that during a pandemic, no. The only places outside of the South Bay that I've been to are the office when I've had to do TV-related stuff downtown at the LAPC. That's it.
I will say, though, George, that the flights, at least the ones – and I haven't been on a great deal. I think I've been on the plane 3 times since March. But all 3 times, you know, I've had plenty of space, not a lot of people on planes. People are very careful.
Sure.
They hand out wipes to clean down the seats, you know, if you're so inclined. So, you know, as far as getting there, it's just about does everyone have the same sort of sensibilities about this as I do?
My experience tells me no. Can we have a moment of truth about, George, you mentioned you've gone to the LA Broadcast Center.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going in to do the Laker games. Somebody explain this to me. We all know that the place in the city of Los Angeles that smells the most like weed is the parking garage at the LA Broadcast Center.
True.
So
there and I haven't even been going to work.
Right. And there are, George, there are no people there right now. It's a ghost town.
Yeah.
I go in to do the game last night. Weed smell in the elevator, weed smell in the park. Is it just never going to go away?
No, it won't go away because now if you go there, there isn't anyone else even to cramp your style. You know what I'm saying? So you might as well just go in there and just hang out now. Now you're more free, I would think.
I got a contact high riding up in the elevator.
John, there is nothing wrong with a little Puerto Yesca.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mace. Yeah. Right, LZ?
Listen. I don't know about you guys, but how many times during the morning show, George, have we seen beer cans and beer bottles in the garage after a long weekend? Yeah. It's the same thing. It's just residue.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Hey, okay. before we
hit it one more time, Pura Yeska.
Pura Yeska!
There you go. Before we move on, I got a couple things I got to plug here real quick.
Yeah, by the way.
For Hispanic Heritage Month, I want to let everyone know that 710 ESPN and Corona Premier will celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month together. I'll be hosting a panel discussion live on Zoom. Our guests include George Lopez, former Dodger Adrian Gonzalez, LAFC goalkeeper Pablo Cisniega, and our buddy Beto Duran, who works for DAZN, and the Rams team reporter, our girl Serena Morales. So make sure you go to our ESPN Los Angeles Twitter page, and you can RSVP to be able to be someone to view this while we do the Zoom session. So you can watch my conversation with these special guests live on Zoom. So go to the ESPN Los Angeles Twitter account.
Okay, cool. All right, we are back tomorrow at 1 o'clock with a gigantic show.
You have a gigantic show tomorrow?
Gigantic show.
How gigantic?
It's the pregame to the pregame.
I love it.
Fezzik, the Fez will join us. Excellent pro sports better. Matthew Berry, the talented Mr. Roto, and the great Lisa Leslie will be with us.
So that's tomorrow, see that one. That is gigantic.